Virginia. Herb borrowed a camper for us to go to Virginia. We decided to test the Lord by putting out a fleece, such as Gideon had done in the Book of Judges. Herb wanted unanimous yes votes from both churches. I wanted to be able to decorate the parsonage, have a new stove. I was tired of the faulty ones we had in previous parsonages. A fireplace, a lilac bush, and a dogwood tree. All of these desires were granted. We returned to Pennsylvania, resigned from the church, made arrangements with a moving company to pack our things for us and move us. We packed enough clothes for a week and drove to Mount Crawford, Virginia. This was the larger of the two churches. The second church was in Weir's Cave, Virginia, about 15 miles farther south. We moved into a motel until our furniture arrived. I had an electric kettle, an electric frying pan, a small pot, and a toaster for cooking meals. The motel gave us permission to make tea, cereal, and toast in our rooms. I went to the parsonage to make the other meals. 10 days passed, with no moving van in sight. The first excuse was that the truck had broken down. The second excuse was the load was not big enough to bring the distance. We canceled the moving company. Several of the church members took trucks to Pennsylvania, rented U-Hauls, went to the moving company, had the furniture loaded, and drove back to Virginia. They arrived about 10 p.m. Friday evening, unloaded everything, and went to their homes. One more night in a motel. Saturday morning, the U-Hauls were returned, and people came to help us put everything in place. By Saturday evening, the curtains were hung, the pictures were on the walls, beds were made, clothes hung in the closets and placed in the drawers. The playroom was in order with toys on the shelves. We were ready. I had already planned an open house for Sunday afternoon, so people could see the renovations. Thankfully, I had asked the ladies to provide the refreshments. I had finished 1 year of school. I enrolled in the high school, which was in the town of Harrisonburg, which was about 10 miles from Mount Crawford. When I gave the school my transcript, they counted the credits I already had and decided I only needed 1 year to get my diploma. A community college was opening the next year in Weir's Cave. I could enroll there for a 2-year degree and then transfer to a 4-year college. Harrisonburg had 2 colleges. Staunton had 2 colleges, and Bridgewater had 1 college. I thought I'd gone to heaven. Herb's workload was reduced considerably, so he could care for the children in the evenings. We felt like we were in a time warp and had regressed 50 years in time. The South was a much slower pace. People seemed more gracious and more hospitable. We had a lot to learn. Most of the population were farmers. Instead of breakfast, lunch, and supper, it was now breakfast, dinner, supper. I don't remember how many times we arrived late because of our confusion. The church schedule was church in Mount Crawford at 9 a.m. with Sunday school following, Sunday school in Weir's Cave at 9 a.m. with church at 11. The first year, I did service and Sunday school in Mount Crawford, but the next year we thought the children were old enough so that I could go to the church services at both churches. One of the members in Mount Crawford supervised the children until Herb and I got home. I graduated from high school in 1967 with a cap and gown and ceremony. I was 30 years old. I enrolled at Blue Ridge Community College. Staff and students helped set up the school. There were a lot of veterans from the Vietnam War. I was able to help a few of them to come to a measure of peace about their circumstances as a result of their war experiences. I was in the work-study program. I worked in the library. I enjoyed helping to set up the library system. I was in contact with students, professors, and staff. Many of the professors asked me to enroll in their classes or to come and work for them. That was pretty heady stuff for me. The summer of 1967, my sister Rose was getting married. She asked me to be her matron of honor. My sisters Millie and Sally were bridesmaids. The dresses were ordered from a bridal shop in Jersey City. I could not afford all the trappings that compose an outfit, so I planned to make my dress. My dress was a lighter shade than my sister's. I had shoes that would match the dress fabric I chose. I ordered the fabrics from an outlet. The fabric never arrived. The Wednesday before the wedding, we were on our way to the wedding with the shoes, but no dress. Herb had been asked to perform the ceremony. He said he would if the church had no pastor. There was no pastor, so Herb married Rose and George Hobb. I related to my sister the dress situation. We went to the bridal shop, and there on the rack was the dress that matched my shoes in my size. No alterations were necessary, except to be hemmed. The dress cost $100, and our trip cost $100, which we really could not afford, but my faith was high. The wedding was beautiful, and we had a lovely time. Because the church had no current pastor, Herb was asked to preach that Sunday. He was paid $200, exactly enough for our expenses. We visited my family that lived in the Jersey City area. We were visiting my brother James, his wife Ruth, and their two daughters. They saw a change in us and wanted to know what had happened to us. We told them about our miracles on this trip, and they wanted us to pray for them, which we did. They too had changes in their lives, and I rejoiced in their increased faith in the Lord. Fellowship with them has been a great joy over the years. That same year, my brother Terry married Madeline, and my brother Murray married Anna. After my parents had been separated for about 15 years, my uncle Howard asked my mother to marry him. He loved children and was one of our favorite uncles. We were glad to call him Pop. I did not particularly want to take a science course, but it was required. I decided biology would be the easiest course. I had to do some remedial classes, such as math. These classes were not accredited, but by the end of the year, the faculty recognized that the book we were using was a college textbook, and we received credit. My biology professor decided I should be a biology teacher. So he started grooming me. I was actually enrolled as an English major and received an Associate of Arts degree. I had so many science classes, the degree should have been an Associate of Sciences. I think I took every science class that was offered. The first quarter, I had lunch with the office personnel, but they were always criticizing their husbands. If a person is not careful, that kind of atmosphere can cause one to enter into it. I had a wonderful husband, so I had nothing to contribute. I began associating with some of the students. We had wonderful times together. Many of the students were veterans of the Vietnam conflict, or people who wanted to further their education but could not afford college tuition. The community colleges were a very welcome provision. Because of all the science classes I was taking, I was asked to be a lab assistant in the biology lab. I was also asked to give some of the lectures. Some of the students began to eat lunch with me. After a while, we went to the lab to eat and had many wonderful discussions with the young men and women. I took four of the female students to New York City for 2 weeks. We stayed with my mother and had a whirlwind tour through the city. One of the ladies, Marianne Alexander, drove us in her car. we invited my mother to go to a museum with us. Mom was always hurrying through life. It was the Museum of Natural History. Mom told us she would be outside waiting when she was through with the exhibits. We exited the building and she was there wondering what took us so long. She had waited an hour and a half for us. I graduated cum laude with the highest grade point average of the graduating class. I received an award of $200. I was also in the Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. Many others had a higher grade point average, GPA, than I, but they had not taken a full curriculum. They had only taken the courses necessary to continue to the four-year schools. I was on the president's list. My name was submitted to Who's Who in Junior Colleges by my English professor. I am in the 1969 edition. The college operated on a quarterly system, so I continued to work in the lab through the summer quarter. I took classes in calculus and chemistry. The biology professor offered me a job as the lab instructor beginning in the fall quarter. I had enrolled in Bridgewater College as a junior. I was required to take some lower class subjects, but was able to test out of them. I had already taken 2 years of physical education classes at Blue Ridge, but was required to take it at Bridgewater. I could not do the parallel bars, or a lot of other activities. I was now 33 years old. I wrote a letter to the administration office explaining why I should not need the course. The dean called me to his office and asked if I had ever considered taking a creative writing class. I was excused from the physical education class. Bridgewater College is a Church of the Brethren school, but not all the students were from that denomination. I chose the school because of its size and its Christian association. James Madison College, which later became a university, was state-related and had cheaper tuition, but a much higher student population. Because of taking 17 college credits and working at Blue Ridge, which is now a college, plus home and school activities, I did not have much time with the Bridgewater students or professors. I was still very much connected with my Blue Ridge students. I was on the dean's list for my junior year at Bridgewater. Herb and I joined the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, which met monthly in Harrisonburg. We met Dr. and Mrs. Donald Deerdorf. Dr. Deerdorf was a professor of physics at Bridgewater College. They had meetings weekly to pray and study scriptures with some of the students from the college. We would attend sometimes. There we met Jay and Joyce Coy, Bill and Betty Kimball, and Richard Petcher. These became associated with what some people labeled the Move. This is a gathering of like-minded people concerning the interpretation of the scriptures. I think we are more ecumenical than those who are seeking ecumenicality. The children enrolled in the public school, which was located in Pleasant Valley and served a wide area, mostly farming families. Herbie was never a good student. I would make sure his homework was done, but could not guarantee that he would give it to the teacher. When he was in sixth grade, I offered to take his teacher's class so she could attend faculty meetings every Friday afternoon. This was for me to make sure he brought his homework assignments home and worked on them through the weekend. His teacher appreciated my efforts. I'm not sure how much Herbie benefited. The teacher gave me a lovely gold initial pin as a thank you. One Sunday afternoon, our children asked if we knew that the Sunday school teacher was coming against Herb's preaching. Many of the people were in the church because their parents had been. They seemed to believe that because their parents called themselves Christians, that automatically made the children Christians. The message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ was not relevant to many of them. We prayed for the people and Herb continued to preach the message of the gospel. Gwen continued with her piano lessons and also began organ lessons. She loved to go to the church and play the organ, with tears streaming down her cheeks. Her desire was to be a band teacher. In high school, she also took clarinet lessons, was in the band, and played oboe and bassoon when needed. Herbie was in the school chorus. He also liked to put model cars and trucks together. He spent hours in his room working by himself. Keith did not do anything extracurricular. Keith Warner had come into contact and was meeting with a home church group in Philadelphia. A Bible teacher had visited their group and taught on what is called the fivefold spirit ministry, found in Ephesians 4. He was eager for Herb to hear these messages. He asked Ted Hesser to copy the messages onto reels, which were played on reel-to-reel recorders. A box containing these tapes arrived at our house. We didn't know the sender, nor did we have the reel player, so the box went into the closet. Herb was teaching a Bible class to a ladies' group under the auspices of the Full Gospel Businessmen. He was teaching on the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. A visitor from Philadelphia, Janet Larner, came to the class that day. When Herb got to the part about the ministries, he said that he didn't know what this meant for the church today, but he was sure the Lord would restore it to the church. After the class, Janet told him that she knew someone who could help him to understand. She said that there was to be a conference in Maryland that he could attend if he was really interested. When Herb returned home, he told me about the conversation, but did not know how he would get time off from the church. He said, "We can't do everything." I totally agreed with him. We were already attending any event that seemed to promise to feed us. I thought how sad it was that we were looking for life when we should have been the life. I knew that I could not go with all that I was involved in, plus the children. But God has his own way of arranging things. Herb was having difficulty with his dentures. When he went to the dentist, it was discovered that he had cancer in his palate. The doctor did surgery and sent Herb home with instructions to stay in bed for 10 days with minimal activity and only liquids to drink through a straw. It was time to listen to the tapes we had stored in a closet. We bought a reel-to-reel recorder, and Herb listened and learned. The conference in Maryland was scheduled for October. In August, Herb received a letter from Janet with the address and the dates and times of the conference, plus $40 in cash for gasoline. Janet had said if Herb did not want to go to the conference, he could use the money for something else. There was no return address to return the money, and Herb's integrity would not allow him to spend it for anything else. Plans were made for him to ask for the time off to go to the conference. In October, he went. I was in school sitting in history class. We were situated in the Shenandoah Valley, no prettier place on earth, between two mountain ranges, the Appalachians and the Blue Ridge Mountains. I was looking out at the mountains, not paying much attention to the professor. God started dropping the same concepts in my mind that Herb was hearing 6 hours away. When Herb returned Friday evening, I waited in expectation to hear his report. He kissed me and greeted the children, then sat down to supper. Finally, I asked about the conference. His comment was that the people he had been with certainly had the word he needed. After supper, he began to share. He had been hesitant to share because of the strong negative reaction I had when he received the baptism of the Spirit. Keith Warner and his children were there. Herb met Ted Hesser. Everything he shared matched the words the Lord had given me. One thing the Lord spoke was to get out of debt. We had two cars, so decided to get rid of one. We had very recently purchased one of them, so Herb took it back to the dealership to ask if he could return it. Herb explained the situation and how he felt the Lord had spoken. The car was graciously taken back. We also returned the piano we had bought. We were excited and blessed and wanted to hear more of the Lord's direction. We began to share more with the folks at Don and Pat Deerdorf's gatherings. We told them about another conference to be held in Lubbock, Texas. This was held over the Christmas holiday. Herb's father had retired from his work in Pennsylvania, and he and Mother Myers were moving to Florida. They stopped to visit on their way south. Herb and I did not think they would be happy there, so we invited them to come and be with us if they were not happy in Florida. I think they were in Florida for 6 weeks and returned to live with us. We made plans to go to Texas. Amazingly, the holiday dates came in a way that caused our two churches to not have Sunday service, so we were free to go. The children were unhappy about missing their holiday, especially having to leave their gifts behind. It was a long trip, 27 hours. We didn't realize how sparsely populated Texas was, especially along I-10. Herb did all the driving. We had barely left home when it began to snow. The snow accumulated so much we had to stop. We were 2 hours from home. We found a small motel and spent the night there. We had to be plowed out in the morning. We continued on our way with snow and sleet assailing us. We had to clear our windshield from ice every 45 minutes all the way. We arrived at our destination as the people were preparing for lunch. There were approximately 1,800 people. Many of the people already knew each other. As I walked into the room, I had a vision. I saw this group of people with their hands raised, praising the Lord. I heard the Lord say, "These people can be raptured anytime they choose." I knew we had come to the right people and the right place. We were blessed to be housed with a family who had children the same ages as ours. I was impressed with the children, including ours. When the meeting started, the children sat still, listened, and never asked if they could leave. If they went to the bathroom, they came back immediately. No loitering or talking. The meetings were very long, sometimes until midnight. The ministers sat up front on a slightly raised platform. There was no formal program. Each person got up to speak as they felt led by the Spirit. Suddenly Herb stood up and went to the podium. He opened his Bible, looked at the congregation, and said, "I don't know why I'm here." Brother Sam Fife stood up and said, "I know why. Gather round, brethren." The ministers gathered around Herb, placed their hands on his head or shoulders, and established him as a ministry in their midst. Some of the prophecies announced that he would go forth as St. Paul had. I knew in my heart that he would be traveling and ministering in the fellowships around the country. That ministry soon extended into other countries as well. The year was 1969. We arrived home refreshed and ready for new challenges. We didn't have long to wait. Learning to live with another woman was one of those challenges. I loved my mother-in-law dearly. She had become a true mother to me. She also had her own schedule and way of doing things, as we all do. In so many ways, I was grateful for her help, the children had chores to do and were on a schedule that I made up each week, and I made a menu for each week. The children knew their schedules and were required to do them within a certain frame of time. They could start the chore any time they wanted, as long as it was completed in time for the next event. People work at their own pace and usually know how long a task takes. That was the principle upon which we functioned. Mother would start whatever she was working on very early and expect the children to be there to do their job. For example, mother cooked either dinner or supper, and one of the children would set the table. Mother would start supper at 3 p.m. and expect the children to be setting the table. The children would come in to set the table at 4:30 for a 5:30 meal. Mother would start washing the dishes even though it was the children's job. I would stop her so the children could continue with their assigned chores. Mother wanted me to change the children, which I refused to do. These were the little foxes that can spoil the vine. In those areas, Mother and I tolerated each other, and nothing changed. There was a conference over Easter in Canton, Ohio, which we attended. The schools our children attended were very good about excusing our children for these trips. Because of some insight into the secular training in the public schools, many parents were putting their children in private schools or taking on the task of homeschooling. The training in college was being considered as well. I was torn, not because my dream was being taken away, but because some of our schools and mission work were requiring teachers who knew Spanish as a first or second language. I was taking Spanish and would like to be able to use it. Should I stay in school or should I quit? We came home from the conference and went back to our routine. I went to school and to my classroom. On the blackboard, the teacher had written, "Today is E-Day." It was April 20th, 1970. We students looked at each other, wondering what it meant. The teacher proceeded to tell us that E-Day was Earth Day, and this was the first Earth Day. We would save the earth through keeping our trash. I have no problem recycling things, but it won't save the earth when God is finished with it. Living our lives according to God's leading would save the earth. The Lord spoke one word to me. Now. I knew He meant that I was to quit school. I quietly got up from my seat, went to the dean's office, and quit school. I went in and told Herb and his parents what I had done. Daddy Myers was so sad and disappointed. He was so proud of my accomplishments. We had attracted a group of college students from the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. They would come to visit Herb and discuss the scriptures. In July or August, they asked if they could be water baptized by immersion. There were three churches in town, Catholic, Reformed, and Methodist. None of them baptized people by immersion. The only place to do that was in the river. Herb arranged the baptism. It was held down by the bridge that crossed the river. The Methodist minister came and stood on the bridge to watch, as did some other town folk. I think 7 young men were baptized that day. As Herb finished the baptizing, he asked if anyone else wanted to be baptized. Gwen had already been baptized in the church. Keith was one of the observers. He walked down into the water and was baptized. Herbie was sitting there watching. I was prompted to ask him about himself. I said, "Well, Herb?" He responded, "Yep, I guess I better." And he did. As often as we could, we went to Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, for fellowship with Ken and Frieda Franklin. There was always a large group of people. We attended the conference in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, in August. We invited Brother Sam Fife to minister in our church, which he did. Everybody was polite, but nobody was interested. We continued our fellowshipping in Waynesboro and Bridgewater. The group in Bridgewater was becoming a home church. It was very good. One of the ministers who traveled came to share with us. He acknowledged most of us as ministers in the local group. Joyce Coy's sister, Barbara Huffman, joined us, and Janet Larner, who was now married and lived in Staunton, Virginia. I had been hired as the lab instructor at Blue Ridge, based on getting my Bachelor of Science degree from Bridgewater. There was some discussion among the administrators as to whether I would be allowed to continue working. Thankfully, the decision was yes, because Herb was considering leaving the church and the denomination. He would have to find a job, and we would have to find housing. It was now 1971. We attended the convention in Canton, Ohio. When we returned home, Herb felt it was time to resign from the church and denomination. He planned to do that at the next meeting of the church elders. One of the elders asked if he could meet with Herb before the elders' meeting. He told Herb that the church was not content with him as pastor, and they wanted him to resign. It is interesting, the reactions we have when we are the ones leaving versus the other side wanting us to go. Herb applied to various companies for employment. He was overqualified for some positions and underqualified for others. He was an excellent teacher, but he did not have the right courses for a teaching certificate, such as psychology. He would need 9 credits of psychology to teach. I think he had 5 credits. He would need to go back to school. Thankfully, he was already recognized as an excellent substitute teacher in the 2 county high schools, junior and senior. He was asked to finish the school year as a substitute for a teacher who was suffering a nervous breakdown due to the misbehavior of some of the students. The behavior of the students became better, and Herbie Jr. made his best grades in all his school years. Herb was also asked to be a teacher for children who could not attend school for various reasons. For the homeschooling jobs, he was paid $5 an hour plus gas. We started looking for a place to rent. Because of the opening of the community college, all of the housing in a 60-mile radius was filled. When we moved into the area, there was a charming house across the street from the church in Weir's Cave. I had thought that I would like to live in that house. It would come up for sale at various times, but we had the parsonage. Now, it was for sale again. We felt there was no way we could afford to buy a house, but when we investigated, we found that a mortgage would be cheaper per month than rent. Herb's father had a weak heart and had already had a serious heart attack. We went to Waynesboro for a convention in August. When we returned home, there were many cars parked around the house and church. Daddy Myers, 67 years old, had passed away from a heart attack. We were so sad that we had not been there, but we were in time to plan the funeral. We missed this dear man in our lives. Herb's mother gave us the money for the down payment on the house in Weir's Cave. We prepared to move so the children could get settled in their new school. Our new home was much closer to my work. Herb had not wanted to live that close to the church from which he had resigned. This church really liked us and never did understand why we left. The group with which we were now fellowshipping did not gather on Sunday. Many of the folks continued to attend the churches where they were members. We stayed home and had meetings there, Herb and I with our children. Herb's mother attended the church across the street. Every Sunday there would be a knock on the door by one of the church members asking us to come and preach, to which Herb would reply that he couldn't. Herb told the children to study and contribute to our home service, which they did. Our younger son, Keith, gave a wonderful study from the book of Ephesians. Eventually, the group meeting with the Deerdorfs decided to leave their churches and invited us to join them on Sunday to form a home church. We also met during the week. We were no longer looking in various places for life. We had found Him who is life. As we settled into soul and spirit satisfying life, I wondered how I had been so busy, and didn't have a nervous breakdown. Groups in the surrounding states asked Herb to come and minister to them, so he joined what is called the traveling ministry. He soon began to travel farther away. He ended his teaching in the public schools. The church denomination did not want to lose him. They kept offering him other churches. He explained his position to some of the local pastors. Several said they envied him, but were afraid to follow his example. We attended the convention in Lubbock in December 1970. As we arrived at our new home, we passed the hill where the children in Weir's Cave went sledding. It was about 10 p.m., a beautiful starlit night with a good fall of snow. Many people were sledding, and our children wanted to join them. It was New Year's Eve. It was a perfect way to celebrate.